Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Ask the experts about free fitting on all our kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
First though, as you've been hearing across the airwaves this morning, the National Ploughing Championships are kicking off in Screggan in County Offaly today. A crowd of 300,000 people are expected to descend on the Midland site over the course of the next few days. It's such an important date in the farming calendar and a great opportunity to discuss the biggest issues facing farmers. That's why the Department of Agriculture has chosen today to launch their generational renewal report, which will be looking at how to address the major issues around farm succession. Well, to discuss this in more detail, I'm joined by Katrina Morrissey, who's news editor at the Farmers Journal. Good morning, Katrina.
Good morning, Claire.
Thanks very much for joining us from the ploughing this morning. Now, generational renewal, every so often it hits the headlines, but I know it's front of mind for many farmers month in, month out. How big of an issue is farm succession in Ireland in general terms?
It's a really big issue, Claire, and it's something I suppose that has been building for years, and it's really coming to a head because there's, you know, there's widespread concern in the industry that we don't have enough young blood, fresh blood, you know, new ideas coming into the industry. And everybody, every industry needs that because you need the next generation to come on and have fresh ideas, new ways of doing things. They're always good to adopt new technologies. And, you know, it's good for any industry, and farming is no exception to that.
Well, it was a given, wasn't it, in years gone by that, you know, the next in line would take over the farm. So what's been changing?
Well, what's been changing, I suppose, is a couple of things. The barriers that are there are very high. So access to land, if you want to farm, it's an extremely expensive asset to have to buy if you don't inherit the land. Access to finance is also difficult. But I suppose the other factor at play is income. Today's children of farms are extremely well educated. In most cases, they have got a degree or a very good trade. They don't necessarily see farming as their only career. So you have to have, you know, farming has to be attractive enough for them to forgo, for example, a 9-to-5 job, teaching or engineering or nursing, in order to come home on the farm. And that's difficult.
But many farmers do both now, don't they? They combine a career, a day job, and the farm. And has a way been found to make that work?
They do, and actually that is a factor of farm incomes, because most farms just do not have enough income to sustain a family. And in the case of generational renewal or succession, for a period of time, that farm will have to generate enough income to sustain two families. You know, the older parents and then the younger farmer who's starting out, who maybe has a spouse and children to support as well. And that's a high bar for any farm to meet. And that is one of the reasons why part-time farming is such a feature of Irish farming. And we're pretty unique in Europe in that we actually want to hold on to the land. We want to continue farming, and we'll actually use off-farm income to subsidise farming in a lot of cases.
And the CSO figures are pretty stark, aren't they? 4.3% of Irish farmers are 35 or under, and you have a big chunk, over 37%, who are 65 or older. So this is why the department have put together this report. What are you expecting to hear from it?
What we're expecting to hear from it is confirmation of what I suppose the industry has been telling successive ministers for agriculture and Martin Hayden. We've been waiting on this report, which went to Martin Hayden. We've been waiting for it since June. So there's a lot of weight attached to this report. We're expecting that there will probably be recommendations on potential tax changes that would incentivise earlier and planned and staged, you know, succession plans for farms. We're expecting it to advise the minister on steps that can be taken to make, you know, things like share farming, partnerships, different farming arrangements to make them more attractive. So maybe some recommendations on incentives on that front. And in general, I suppose some incentives, be they tax, financial or otherwise, to incentivise bringing in that next generation of farmers.
But of course, now we're only 3 weeks out from the budget and this thing is being published today, isn't it? So there isn't really that much time to set these things in motion for 2026.
Yeah, and I think that's where the industry will be disappointed. This report was due in June, and as you say, we're mid-September now. Unless the minister has already been bending Pascal Donoghue's ears, it is unlikely that there will be major changes in the next budget. Nonetheless, there are key reliefs that will need to be renewed in the budget, agricultural reliefs on farm inheritance. And the other, I suppose, thing that farmers will be keeping an eye on is what the minister is looking for in the next Common Agricultural Policy, because that's a huge driver of how farmers will farm over the next 5 years.
Of course, Mercosur was very high on the agenda as well when it comes to what we've got to look out for over the coming years. That deal was a big concern for farmers. They were dead set against it. And then the tide started to turn, didn't it?
It did, and I suppose Donald Trump and the US presidency has made us all very aware of different trading relationships being hugely important. Farmers are for a long time now very, very wary of Mercosur, and that's because it will bring 99,000 tons of beef from the South American countries into Europe. And while that, in terms of the percentage of beef that is imported into Europe, isn't actually that large, the fear is that it will be the really high value steak cuts, and that would inevitably reduce the price at that the market will pay in Europe. If there is more high-value steak cuts available, no matter the source, then the price of that will fall, and that ultimately hits farmers in the pocket.
We see all of this plays into the succession conversation. You know, if we go back where we started, that it's simply not as attractive now to take over the family farm when you've access to third-level education and a job that's probably going to give you a lot less hardship for a lot more money.
That's it. And you know what? I mean, there is hope there, because there are farmers, despite all those challenges, despite the red tape and the bureaucracy that's involved in farming, despite the fact that Mother Nature can turn your plans upside down every day, and they still want to farm. And we see that at the ploughing this week. You know, there's huge vibrancy in the industry as well. It's a matter of harnessing that. And I think, you know, providing the steps, providing the pathways that young farmers can get an income from farming and not see it as, you know, a negative career. So look, this week is all about farming. It's all about positivity in the industry. And there is a huge hope that this report will actually, bolster that and be able to, as I say, just give that pathway forward.
Well, Katrina, there's the policy and, you know, there's what the minister might say and the recommendations in this report. That's one side of it. But the other side of it is there's often a reluctance to have the conversation. You know, daddy mightn't want to stop farming at 70 or even 75.
Or even 85.
Yes.
And this has been studied. There's real psychology behind this. NUI Galway has looked at this in recent years. Farmers identify as their occupation, and they're very unique in that. Retired bus drivers don't say when they're 85, they don't say, I'm a bus driver. But farmers do, and they put a huge value on their identity and society, their value to society as being a farmer. And to retire brings huge risk for them personally, because they feel that they are devalued, they don't have a job, you know, they're worthless. And that's, of course, not true, but that's the psychology of it. And then at the other side, you have the younger, the successor. For farms that have a successor, not all do. You know, you are talking to your mother or your father or your aunt or your uncle. These are very sensitive discussions. You know, you're talking about legal issues, finance issues, tax, bank accounts. You know, a lot of us don't even ask our brother or sister anything about those issues. So you can see why it is a difficult conversation to have. But increasingly, there is more awareness in the industry that these difficult decisions are better done earlier. And the more they're talked about, the better.
Absolutely. And we'll wait for that generational review report, which is due out today from the Department of Agriculture. Listen, you're joining us, as I said, from Scraggan. What's it like down there weather-wise? What are the conditions like, Katrina?
Weather-wise, it's absolutely lovely this morning. The sun is shining. Look, the ground is a bit sticky in places. The forecast is for rain overnight. I think Tuesday is going to be a great day, to be honest. So I would say bring the appropriate. There's no such thing as bad weather, Claire. It's only bad clothes.
Gear. Yeah.
So if you're kitted out, you'll have a great time.
All right, Katrina. Well, thank you for joining us from the ploughing in Scraggan in County Offaly. That's Katrina Morrissey, who's news editor at the Farmers Journal.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.